Says, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. If you remember in Proverbs chapter 4, pretty much the whole chapter is just a father giving instruction and advice to his son. And really, chapter 5 is just a continuation of that, except in chapter number 5, dad is going to hone in on one thing pretty much, and that is the strange woman. And if you read the book of Proverbs, the strange woman is just brought up over and over again. It is a major villain in the book of Proverbs. And so dad has taken a whole chapter here to warn his son about the loose woman here. And so I want to give you a couple statements this evening regarding these type of women. Number one, we need to realize the dangers of whores. We need to realize the dangers of whores. Look at Proverbs verse 5, verse 1 again. Notice what it says. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. So notice, it's a father speaking to his son, and what he's going to tell him about is the strange woman. You know, in some households and in some cultures and in some churches, this is like a taboo subject that's never brought up. And it's just like, it's never talked about in the home. This issue is never even dealt with kids. But you know, this is an issue that needs to be talked about. And it's not uncomfortable. It's not weird. Like, if the Bible brings this up, we should be warning the youth about this. This is something that young men should be warned about, and not just like kind of throw them to the world and hope that they figure these things out on their own. Dads should be warning their sons about the dangers of whores. The Bible talks a lot about it. Dads, it's your responsibility. You need to make sure you're doing this. Look what it says in verse number 3. And this, remember, dad to his son, he says this, for the lips of a strange woman drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. The idea here is that the strange woman is going to appear as something that is pleasant unto you. And you know, it doesn't do any good to sit here and pretend like, you know, oh, men are never going to be tempted with this whatsoever. The strange woman is going to come to you with horns and a pitchfork, and she's going to be telling you how wicked she is. No, the whole point of this warning is that he's saying, look, son, she's going to appear desirable. She's going to look good. She's going to look like something that's going to be pleasant unto you. But of course, we know that that's not the truth. Go to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. But you know, some Christians, some pastors, they never ever talk about these things because they just want to act like they're so perfect and Christian men are just these perfect little angels that would never ever be tempted with something like this. But the Bible doesn't say that it's not a temptation. The Bible's saying that she's going to appear pleasant to you, that she's going to appear something desirable. While you're turning there, 1 Corinthians 10, 12 says this, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, it's not a good mentality to just act like this is not a problem whatsoever for men. You're never going to struggle with this if you get saved. Once you're saved, you got the Holy Ghost in you. Amen, you do. But, oh, you'll just never struggle with sin again. No, that's ridiculous. No, it's a serious temptation. Notice what Hebrews 11, verse 24 says. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Notice, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See, there is a certain element of sin that is pleasurable, but that pleasure is temporary. It's for a season. And so you think, why is it that people are drawn away and enticed after their own lusts? Because sin has a pleasurable aspect to it, but we ought not to be so foolish just seeking that temporary pleasure, because we learn in Proverbs 3, we're not supposed to trust in our heart, right? Not trusting in our heart, we're supposed to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, not leaning on our own understanding. And here's what happens is that this happens all the time, where people get this in love feeling. And it's not really that you're in love, it's that you're in this momentary, temporary phase of infatuation. And that's often when people fall into sins like fornication and adultery, because that emotion, that feeling that you're feeling is very strong, which is why the Bible says not to trust in your heart, Because that can happen to people. People can get deceived by the strange woman, but you're not supposed to be listening to your feelings. You're not supposed to be listening to your emotions. You're supposed to realize that it may seem good on the outside. It may seem like it's something you want, but really, it's death. Really, it's something that's going to hurt you. It's not something you should ever go after. And this is why people, you know, go to Las Vegas and get married after knowing each other for one day, right? Or knowing each other for 1 week. They think that they're in love when, no, you're not in love. You're just in infatuation. And people make these, you know, commit these wicked sins because of that. Go back to Proverbs 5. So, you know, think about that emotion. That emotion's very powerful. And the strange woman is going to use that emotion to manipulate you. That's what she does. She wants to get at you. She wants to commit this sin with you. And so she's going to use your emotions to manipulate you. How? Look at verse 3 again. For the lips of a strange woman drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Obviously, when you think of lips, mouth, what are you thinking of? Words. What people say. And you know, this is one of the tactics of the strange woman, is that she's going to come up to you and she's going to flatter you. She's going to say, oh man, her lips are just dropping like a honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than oil. She's going to be saying all these good and all these nice things to you. Go to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter number 18. But I'll tell you, it's a red flag, men, when a woman comes onto you. It just is. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 22. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. You know, it's described in the Bible, the man finding the woman. It is a red flag when a woman is finding a man. And sure, maybe there's some exception out there, but the 99% rule on this is that a woman that finds you is bad news. And like, we're getting this backwards in our society now. It's really sad. I'm seeing these videos going viral of all these ladies proposing in marriage to men. And it's just like, you are not a man. If a girl proposes to you, like, that is pathetic. But you know, we just have a lot of weak men these days that don't realize the flattery that they're getting into a lot of times. But look, woman finds you out of nowhere. Woman starts laying it on thick to you, starts telling you how great you are, how muscular you are, how wonderful you are. This is a bad sign, okay? Not a good idea whatsoever. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Chapter number 2. And of course, so one way that the strange woman will manipulate her victim is by her words. And of course, another way, this is just common sense, that the strange woman will manipulate her victims is through her body, right? Because I think in one way, her lips dropping as honey and looking really sweet could be talking about her words, but it also is just talking about her physical appearance, that she just looks nice. Because I don't know if you realize this, but men are attracted to women. This is just reality. And here's the thing. Everyone knows this. Godly women know this, and wicked women know this. But you know, godly women don't weaponize their bodies against men. Godly women aren't trying to seduce other men that aren't their husbands. Godly women would never do such a thing. But you know what wicked women do? Of course, they know that they're beautiful because women just are naturally attractive. But yet they will weaponize their looks to get their victims. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. You know, the Bible teaches that Christian ladies should be adorning themselves with modest apparel. Ladies should not be going around showing off their bodies for men that are not their husband to be seeing. That is a wicked attribute. And that's something that the strange woman likes to do, is she likes to weaponize her body to get her victims. What does the Bible say? That women should adorn themselves in modest apparel. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about the Bible's definition of nakedness, that it's from the loins unto the thighs. That's one aspect of Christian dressing, that you should cover your nakedness, that you should dress according to your gender, right? We don't believe that women should be wearing pants. We believe women should be wearing skirts and dresses. But on top of that, you should be wearing modest skirts and dresses, because you're supposed to be adorning yourself in modest apparel, not trying to wear the tightest thing you possibly can so that you could just bring all the eyes of every man onto your body. That is a wicked attribute. That is not the way that God wants Christian ladies behaving. And look, here, I think that, obviously, I don't know, because I'm not a woman. I've never been a woman, obviously. But I'm just thinking, like, why do women do this? They must just think that if they dress modestly, that men won't find them attractive, that men won't think that they're good. But I'm here to tell you that's not true. Right. It's just not true. Like, godly men, when they see a woman that's dressed traditionally, she's got a long skirt on, she's got a dress on, they're going to think highly of her. They're going to say, like, wow, this woman is different than everyone else. I mean, a whore is a dime a dozen. She's on every street corner. Everywhere you go, you see women that are dressed inappropriately, according to the Word of God. They're just everywhere. And it's sad that it's like that, because we've gotten so far away from the Bible, so far away from the book of Proverbs, but it's just true. Doesn't matter what state you're in, doesn't matter if it's winter, doesn't matter if it's summer, there's just whores everywhere in our country. And I don't know about you, when I see a lady out and about in skirts and dresses, I just think, that's got to be a good person right there. And she may not even be, but I'm just thinking that. I mean, she might be like a Mormon or something. She might be like a Pentecostal, I don't know. But I am thinking in my heart right away when I see a woman dressed modestly, I'm like, that must be a good woman. That must be a good person. And you know, you single guys, that's who you should be looking for. When you see a lady like that, approach her, talk to her. If she's not saved, give her the gospel. You know, it's a rare thing to find a modest woman nowadays. And if you just find one, I mean, it's better than rubies. It's more valuable than rubies and gold. I mean, man, it's so rare these days. Go to Matthew chapter number 5. But of course, you know, not only do women have a role to play in this, but us men also. The Bible says in Job 31:1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? You see, it's kind of hard for a woman to emotionally manipulate you with your looks if you're not looking, right? I mean, it takes two here. Yeah, women should not be dressing like whores. Amen, 100%. We're 100% going to preach against that. But you know what? We as men should not just be feasting our eyes on whores either. Right. And you know what? Both people are responsible. You do not have to sit here and let your heart get taken astray by some whore. But what does the Bible say? Mine eye affecteth my heart. And yeah, you might start actually feeling wicked feelings when you're sitting there and just allowing your eyes to feast on a woman's body like that. It's wicked. It's wicked on both sides. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Look, if you want to never commit adultery, if you want to never be deceived by the strange woman, don't just sit here and say, like, well, I'm never going to commit adultery. No, just don't even lust after her in your heart, because that's where it begins. You know, people don't go from being just like three to thrive, reading the Bible, soul winning, living the Christian life, to just committing adultery overnight. That's not how it usually happens. How it usually happens is that you start getting lazy with your eyes, and then emotions come after that, and you get manipulated into doing something that you didn't set out to do. And what's funny is, like, yes, there are male sexual predators in this world, of course, no doubt about that. But what's interesting is that the Bible focuses on female sexual predators in the book of Proverbs. And I think that's for a reason, because we don't necessarily think of ladies as being that way. But the Bible's telling us that there are women that will hunt. There are women that are trying to cause men to stumble, that are trying to cause men to go into this type of sin, and it's super wicked. We got to make sure we're having character with our eyes. And I kind of think of it like this, like with gun safety, you could do some things to mitigate having accidents, having, you know, injuries. You could not put your finger on the trigger until you've got your sights aligned and you're ready to destroy what you're pointing at. And you could not point the muzzle at anything you're not ready to destroy, right? So, like, you have these safeguards with firearms to keep you from accidentally killing yourself or someone else. Well, it's like the Bible's given us some safeguards here. Ladies, dress modestly. That's on you, okay? But then men, make a covenant with your eyes not to sit here and just behold women in a lustful manner. You know, we have control of that. That's a decision that we get to make. You know, keep your finger off the trigger, guys. Don't point it at anything like that. You know, have some gun safety and have some safety with this sin as well, because it's destroyed many, many men. Go back to Proverbs chapter number 5. Proverbs chapter number 5. And again, that's why I don't think it's really beneficial to just hide from this topic or act like it's taboo, not warn the young people about it, because it destroys a lot of people, a lot of people. Look at verse 4. It says, "But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell." So notice, perception is not necessarily reality. You're perceiving, wow, she looks so great. Her lips are dropping like honey. She's smoother than oil. Everything's just great about her. That's the perception, but perception is not always reality. The end of her is wormwood. Now, I just found this on the internet. I'm not 1,000% sure on this, but I read that wormwood is a plant that smells good but has poisonous qualities to it, and that when you consume it, it kills you. And that's kind of how the strange woman is. She appears nice. She appears like something that's going to be good. But at the end, it's death. It's destruction. It's terrible, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. I mean, how much more extreme can the Bible describe how terrible it is to get involved with a strange woman? But, you know, I think God needs to be this extreme because this is such a sin that is common to man. This is the biggest area that men struggle in life. And so we need to come to God's word and renew our minds and not trust in our heart and realize, hey, our stupid flesh that says, wow, that looks great, that looks wonderful. No, it's death. No, it's going to ruin your life. No, you never, ever, ever want to go down that road. It's not worth it. Stay far away from that woman. Go to Hosea chapter number 4. Hosea chapter number 4. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. When you get there, notice what it says. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." Notice, people are destroyed from lack of knowledge, and specifically from the lack of the knowledge of God and from his commandments. Because it's talking about, hey, you're forgetting me, I'm going to forget your children. And what's interesting is that we had a whole generation in the 60s and 70s that really just gave themselves over to fornication, really just committed all sorts of debauchery in our country, had extremely high divorce rates. They really just forgot God and forgot the law of God. And you know what happened? A whole new generation grew up and they weren't getting the knowledge of God that said, run away from fornication, run away from the strange woman. They were told, here's how to do it safely. Here's protection. When I went to high school, we were literally distributed protection at the public school. That's the knowledge that kids are getting now. It's not, hey, don't be a whore. It's not, hey, stop dressing like a whore. It's not, hey, men, learn to have some character and not just lust after women. No, it's just, here's how to be a whore safely. Guess what? There's no safe way to be a whore. There is no safe way to be an adulterer, especially if you're a Christian. Because God is going to come down and rain on you. God is going to judge adulterers and whoremongers, and we ought to have the fear of God to ever go down this road of adultery and fornication, because guess what? If we didn't preach hard about this, it's just going to be rinse and repeat of history again. People forget God's commandments. They go out and they give themselves over to fornication. The next generation's raised again without the law of God. We need to stigmatize this again. You should be ashamed of being a whore. Isn't the saying used to be like more uncomfortable than a whore in church? But it's not stigmatized anymore. Even like I talked about this, the conservative influencers, the conservative women in our country, they dress like a bunch of whores. They show off their bodies and they're acting like they're conservative. No, you know what? You're a whore and you should be ashamed of yourself. And, you know, we have a bunch of young people today looking up to absolute pieces of garbage like Andrew Tate, thinking, oh, he's cool, he's wonderful, he makes money, he gets all the girls. That guy is a piece of garbage. Right. That guy is a human trafficking devil that should be shot in the head. Yep. Disgusting. Yep. We need to stigmatize this because people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Notice verse 10. "For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Notice verse 11. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. You know, it's going to be impossible for you to walk with God when you're committing fornication. It's going to be impossible for you to walk and have a close relationship with God when you're cheating on your wife, when you're cheating on your husband. No, whoredom, wine, and new wine, it takes away the heart. And, you know, there's a big dearth of Christianity today, biblical Christianity in the United States. Maybe it's because Americans are so obsessed with whoredom and drinking alcohol and just enjoying the pleasures of this life. We need to get back to preaching hard against this stuff, because what it does is it takes away the heart. We've got to start protecting the next generation against this stuff. Go back to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter number 5. Verse number 6 says, "Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them." You ever heard the phrase, "You can't turn a hoe into a housewife"? Guess what? It's true. The strange woman, it says that her ways are movable. You can't trust her. She's going to act one way around you and another way around someone else. That's why, you know, you should never be around these type of women. You should not go after the strange woman. You should not allow yourself to be deceived by the strange woman. Her ways are movable. You know, you single guys, you're not locked in to a marriage. You get to choose whoever you want to marry. You should have the knowledge of God here and say, okay, I need to find a virgin woman if possible. I need to find a chaste woman. I need to find someone that's not a complete whore, because her ways are movable. And women who in their past, not every single time, but a lot of women who have been really sexually promiscuous in their youth are the same women that are going to divorce and leave you. And honestly, it's the same way for guys too. Like, we should just be virgin, like the Bible teaches. We should avoid fornication. But, you know, this is a terrifying statistic that I found recently. Women between the ages of 18 and 25, there is a 1.2 million U.S. women that are selling their bodies on a popular adult website. 1.2 million women in the United States between the ages of 18 and 25 are selling their bodies, are prostituting their bodies, are being whores on a very popular adult website. That means that for that age group, one out of every 10 American women between those ages are on that site. She really is on every corner, like the Bible says. You really do have to beware of the strange woman. Her ways are movable. You cannot know them. We have to be aware of the strange woman. That brings me to number 2 this evening. Stay far away from temptation. What was number 1? Recognize the danger of whores. Let's not mince words here. It's a real temptation for men. Let's not pretend like it's not. It is. It's a real danger. So number 2, stay far away from temptation. Look at verse 7. "Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth." Verse 8, "Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh to the door of her house." Here's a great way to never commit adultery or fornication with a strange woman, is don't even be around her. Right. Don't even be physically near her. And some guys, they like to play with fire and see how close they can get and have a good time. No, the Bible says remove your foot far from her. Don't play around with it. Go to Romans chapter number 13. Romans chapter number 13. And you know, this point especially, man, it's so important for young men to be hearing this and to be implementing this into their lives and not just trust in their spirituality to take them through temptation. We need to do something about it. Look at Romans 13 verse 10. "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ," notice this, "and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Notice, it's not good enough to just sit here, young men, and say, I'm never going to commit fornication. I'm never going to go down this road. Now, you should start there. You should have that in your heart. That should be the true and honest desire of your heart. But it's not enough to say like, well, I don't want to, therefore I never will. No, what you need to do is you need to not make provision for the flesh. Provision meaning to feed, to provide for, to give life to. You got to kill that old man. You ought to not give provision to the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So you need to put up some safeguards in your life so that you don't go down this road in a moment of weakness. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We are sinners. You ought to know that about yourself. And if you do sincerely want to make it through life, being completely faithful to your wife like you should, and not committing fornication like you should, you need to actually set up some safeguards in your life so that you don't go down that road. What's a good way? Excuse me. What's a good way of doing that? How about, if at all possible, not being around the opposite gender when you're alone? And people love to mock this and act like it's so crazy and you guys are so weird. But it's like, hey, I'm going to stay faithful to my wife, though. And, you know, hopefully the young kids in here, they take this to heart and they actually make it to the wedding altar pure. And hopefully we don't have this continuation in America of just adultery, divorce, adultery, divorce, adultery, divorce. Hopefully our kids can actually be raised by one set of parents instead of two. You'd be wise to take heed to this advice. And it doesn't have to be weird. Like, the Bible says love is the fulfilling of the law. I've been in many situations where it's like, oh, we found ourselves in this situation. You know what I did? I just removed myself. And it's not that I think that that woman was so wicked and she was going to do something. It's not that I think, oh man, I was really tempted. I was about to do something. It's just like, hey, I love my sister in Christ. Hopefully she loves me. And what are we doing? We're doing the Christ-honoring thing here. Like, let's just honor Christ with what we're doing here. Right. It doesn't have to be weird. It's not that I think something weird about you or that you are thinking something weird about me. It's just that this is honoring God. We don't want to sit here and give occasion to our enemies, to give false accusations against us, and we don't want to make provision for the flesh. We just don't want to do it. And so it just makes sense, if at all possible, to not be in those situations. Now, sometimes I understand there are situations in life where you are going to literally be in that situation. There's nothing you can do about it. Well, you could still try to be covering your bases as much as possible. Try to be in a public space. Try to be around cameras or something like that. I get it. You got work and stuff like that. Sometimes you can't avoid it. But, you know, if you follow this principle to the best of your ability, it's going to keep you safe. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. It's not enough in God's eyes just to sit here and not commit fornication and not commit adultery. God does not want us to even have the appearance of evil. This is why it is a bad idea, and it's just gross and wrong for pastors to be counseling women by themselves. And this is like a common practice, and it's absolutely insane that pastors will go into their office with some young lady, some teen, some young woman, and close the door and have a private counseling session. That is insane. That will never, ever happen at Anchor Baptist Church. Why? Because you think you're going to do something? No, because I want to abstain from all appearance of evil. And I don't want you to get comfortable if you go to another church to where some false prophet will do something, to where some sick pervert will do something to your children. No, it needs to be above board. It needs to be in the open. If I'm going to be talking with a lady like that, my wife's going to be right next to me. And maybe your husband will be there too. Like, let's just have as much accountability as possible. We don't want to give the enemies an occasion to speak against us or Jesus or our church. And we don't want to have the appearance of evil. You know, this is another thing. It is inappropriate, and people don't grow up in church, maybe they don't understand these things. It is inappropriate, men, to go up to women in this church and hug them. Do not do that. I've been at a church where new visitors starts coming and started front hugging all the ladies. I'm just going to be careful with what I say here. Don't hug people's wives. Amen, men? Come on. Don't be hugging people's wives. That is a bad idea. And you know, it's not appropriate. It's not above board. It's the appearance of evil. Look, some lady 65, 70 years old. Hey, sister, no problem, okay? But you know what? I'm not going to be hugging women that are anywhere close to my age. It's not going to be happening whatsoever. It's inappropriate. And I've literally had a woman walk up to me and say, oh, can I hug you? I said, oh, I just do handshakes. You know? And it, again, it's not like, you're a terrible person, you're wicked, you're trying to be an adulteress. It's just like, look, we just need to honor Christ here. I'm not going to be having the appearance of sin. I don't want you having the appearance of sin. We're just staying far away from that. This doesn't happen in here, but please, no hugging women except your wife and your mother and your sister, and that's it, all right? Crazy the things you have to say sometimes. Go to Proverbs chapter number 5. Proverbs chapter number 5. So we saw the dangers of whores. We need to put up safeguards in our life to keep us safe. Why? Look at verse 9. It says, lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. You know, I just love the Bible because it tells you exactly what's going to happen. And like human beings, we're just so stupid and we're just led by our emotions sometimes. We're just like, oh, she's pretty. Oh, she looks good. But the Bible's like, she's death. She's a two-edged sword. You're going to give all your money to strangers. It's going to destroy your life. There's no coming back from her. And people, when they go in and get deceived by the strange woman, they're not necessarily thinking all these things. By the way, this is why you should read the Bible. Because the Bible is full of warnings like this that are going to save you so much time and save you so much heartache and save you so much pain. This is why we love hard preaching. This is why we love the King James Bible, because it just gives you the straight truth. It cuts through your wicked heart, cuts through my wicked heart, and it just tells us the truth about life. And here's the truth. I looked up some statistics on this. There is $20 billion a year in the United States that's spent on child support. $20 billion. What does the Bible say? That you're going to be ending up giving your wealth to others. I mean, to me, it just doesn't seem like there'd be that connection just from a human level. Of course, I know that because the Bible's true. But then reality just keeps matching the Bible all the time. Oh, you sleep with the whore, you go into adultery, you go into fornication, you're going to lose all your money. And then it just happens. $20 billion in the United States. That's an average monthly payment of $441 per custodial parent. Who just said, you don't raise your hand, who just has like an extra $441 a month that you just like to piss down the toilet? Because that's what you're doing when you're committing adultery and fornication and having to deal with all these child support payments and, in some cases, alimony payments. It used to be a lot more common before women were in the workforce. But now it's mostly child support, and that's $20 billion a year. $441 a month is the average. You know what that means? That means that there's a lot of dudes that are spending way more than that every month. That's crazy. But it's exactly what the Bible said would happen. And notice verse 11, it says, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Again, the Bible is just going hard here, telling us how dangerous this type of woman is and how badly you're going to really screw up your life if you go down this road. Don't try to figure out for yourself. Kids, don't say like, Pastor Oz is crazy. Pastor Oz is just going way overboard. The Bible's wrong on this. No, no, no. You will regret it. The person that does this, they come to themselves mourning at the last. What is that? Weeping, sobbing, crying. You know how many people go into marriage with so much baggage from their horrible, raunchy past that just causes mourning and weeping and problems? And how about this? Thy flesh and thy body being consumed? How would you like to get an STD, kids? Well, commit fornication. You might find out. Because over 25% of Americans have STDs. You really want to spin the revolver on that? You really want to play Russian roulette with STDs? STDs are so rampant in our country, it's not even funny. But did you know that if you are a virgin and you get married to a virgin, that there is an exactly 0% chance that you will have an STD? And you're not going to be mourning at the last. You're not going to be weeping and sorrowful for this disease, this pain that you're going to have to carry with you for the rest of your life oftentimes. A lot of these diseases, they can't get rid of them. They try to treat the symptoms, but these people are in horrible pain, all sorts of discomfort, all sorts of dysfunction, literally. How would you like to have that for the rest of your life? It's not worth it. Be aware of this type of woman. Stay there. I'll read for you 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Look, when God saved us and the Holy Spirit came to dwell in us, we are the temple of God. Our body is the temple of God. And you know what? God wants us to sanctify that temple. God wants us to separate ourselves from some things. And one of those things is fornication. The Bible even talks about in 1 Thessalonians, sanctifying our vessel and getting away from fornication. This is something that we must be doing. And if you don't, notice what happens. Verse 12, you'll say, and say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? I mean, it's just so foolish to sit here and despise hard preaching. It's so foolish to sit here and despise preachers for screaming and yelling and warning young people about the dangers of fornication. Because if I'm not doing that, and if you parents are not warning your kids, you know what's going to happen is that your kids will pay the price when they end up going down this road, and they're eventually going to say, man, I hated instruction. I hated reproof. It just brings pain. Look at verse 13. And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. You know what that means? It means that teachers should be warning against fornication constantly, and not just acting like, hey, it's no big deal. No problem. Oh, we're all sinners. Yeah, we are all sinners. That's why we should sanctify ourselves and put up some safeguards that we don't go down this road, because we are all sinners. But you know what the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians 5? That if someone's a fornicator, that they're not even supposed to be allowed in church. Why? Because God wants to send a clear message to other people that this is a big deal, that this will destroy your life. It'll destroy your walk with God. No, you're not going to lose your salvation, but you know what? Committing fornication will destroy your walk with God. It will. And the Bible even says that we're supposed to deliver that person up unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. The Bible's literally saying, like, if you commit fornication and you get kicked out of church, that God's going to let the devil do whatever he wants to you. God's going to let the devil destroy your flesh. So you know what? You should be terrified to commit fornication. You should be terrified to commit adultery, because God is going to come down on you. Verse 14, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Here's another thing we can do to avoid this strange woman. Number three is get married. This is the greatest way to avoid the strange woman. Look at verse 15. It says, drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. I mean, God does not just expect you to be parched. He has water for you. He has a well for you. And instead of just going around life being parched, just drink out of your own well. Just drink out of your own cisterns, the Bible says. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Think about how this has gone so far. The dad has said, son, she's going to appear great. She's going to appear wonderful. You're going to think that this is a good idea, but let me tell you, it's really not. She's going to destroy your life. You need to protect yourself. You need to put up these safeguards. And then he says, hey, you know what you should do, son, is you should just get married. You should just get your own wife. You should just get your own well, your own cistern, to satisfy this natural need and temptation that we have as men. And that's godly. That's God's way about doing things. Now, look, if you want to get married, you will actually have to talk to women. You will actually have to talk to them. You will have to actually probably shower. You will have to actually, you know, not show off your Pokemon collection and stuff like that. You might have to, like, work a job and, you know, be approachable and stuff like that. You might have to do some things, but you should get married. And let me tell you what God's will is for 99% of men. It's to get married. But it's like, man, we've just got so many distractions in our society today that are just, like, tamping men down and keeping them from reaching their potential. Things like video games. Because, look, video games are not a sin, but you know what video games does for a lot of guys is it robs them of their natural ambition. Because right. Instead of going out and achieving something and getting the girl and making the money and buying a car, buying a house and doing stuff like that, it's like, well, I got the girl on the video game, and I destroyed the dragon in the castle, and, you know, like, I won World War VI online. But it's like, but you're not living in real life, and life is passing you by, and the ladies are getting married, and you're getting older, and you need to stop being so distracted by that crap and actually get out in the real world.
Right.
And I say this, and I don't really care if you like it or not. Like, bros, you should be lifting some weights. You should not be weird. Just define that to yourself. Stop being weird. I mean, some single guys are just weird. And I say this in love to you because I want you to get married. Because I know that you want that. Because men want that, right? But to find a woman, you've got to be normal. You've got to be able to talk to them. You've got to take some showers, okay? I could just go on all night about this, but I know I'm going to piss people off with that one. Go to verse number 19. Or, I'm sorry, verse 18. It says this. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. You know, it is a blessing to get married young. And not everyone has to get married young. It may not be the best situation for every single person, but in general, it's a good idea to get married young. Why? Because you're going to avoid that temptation. When you're young, or when these temptations are very strong, and that's the time you should get married most of the time. And when you're waiting till you're in your 40s to get married, it's like, good luck finding a virgin lady in her 40s. Good luck finding, like, you should get married young. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. And look, we've got some great single guys in this church, but man, I've seen some crazy stuff. Don't, when you're on your first date, show your girlfriend your Hitler collection, okay? Just, they don't want to see that, I promise you. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 1 says, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now this is in the context of fornication. This isn't saying that any time you're ever touching a woman for any reason that it's a sin. Otherwise, I couldn't baptize any ladies. Did you know that? You know, I have to actually like touch a woman to baptize her. Okay, if a woman is dying and choking, guys, you could give her the Heimlich and save her life. If a woman's bleeding out and dying, see, some of the ladies probably disagree. You could actually save her life. Like, no, even if she's dying, don't touch her. It's not a sin just inherently to touch a woman. But notice what it says in verse 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. The Bible just straight up says here, how do you avoid fornication? You get married. You get a wife. This is God's will for 99% of people. Sure, there's the Apostle Paul out there that can, you know, keep his flesh under subjection, and he's not tempted in that area, but you are probably not that person. And if I ask you, because some people think that they're this person, and they tell me they think this is a person, and I'm like, do you desire women? Yeah, you're not that person. You should get married, okay? Look at verse number 3. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. And likewise, also the wife unto the husband. So the physical relationship in marriage is something that is due. It is something that is owed to the party in marriage. When you get married, you stand before God, you stand before your friends and family, you stand before your pastor, and you say, to have and to hold from this day forward. That's not just holding hands, folks. That is due benevolence. The Bible says that you owe that to your spouse. Verse 4, the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. So notice, it's your wife's body, your choice, the Bible says. And likewise, also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Husband's body, wife's choice. This one's mutual. See, the husband has ultimate authority in marriage, but in this area, you're both in charge, the Bible says. You don't have authority over your own body, ladies, in marriage. Men, you don't have authority over your own body. You belong to each other. You are one flesh. And marriage, this is something that is due. Now, it's sad, but a lot of marriages are being destroyed because of this issue. Because weird teachings, weird influences of feminism especially, telling women, hey, this is something your husband has to earn. If he has enough brownie points, if he's taken out the garbage, if he's rebuilt your deck, if he's done all this extra stuff, then it's kind of like a little, here's a prize. No, folks. That's a good way to destroy your marriage. That is wicked as hell. Amen. The Bible says that it's owed to each other. And same thing, obviously, with the men. Sometimes, believe it or not, there's marriages where it's like the wife really wants this, the wife is really into this, and then the husband is just not. The husband is just not participating whatsoever, and that's going to lead to destruction as well. This has to be something that you're both giving each other whenever you want, the Bible says. Consent is given at the marriage altar. Go back to Proverbs 5. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Yes, you should be scared of God. You should be scared to commit fornication. You should be scared to commit adultery. I mean, adultery is such a grievous sin. I have always hated adultery before I was even saved. I always thought, like, adultery is so just unfathomable to me. It's so disgusting. And guess what? It is a crime punishable by death in the Bible for a reason. Now, of course, our society has just become desensitized to that because we're used to living in such just a wicked culture where people just commit adultery, no punishment, no problem. But you know what? The Bible says that when you do that, God will judge you. And, you know, woe unto the man that ever hears this preaching and cheats on his wife. Woe unto you. Woe unto the wife that hears these preaching and goes out and commits adultery on her husband. You know what? God is going to come down hard on you. You ought to be afraid of the Lord. Verse 19 of Proverbs 5, let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Don't listen to the feminists. Oh, once a month should be fine. Oh, once a month, if he's a good little boy, then he should be fine. The Bible says at all times. This is why you get married, folks. And it's like, I wonder why the Bible, like, relates it to water. How long can you live without water? Not very long. But there's some marriages that have been living a long time without water, and they're dry, and they're ready to perish. And you know what a good way to spice up your marriage is to come together like the Bible says. And to do it regularly like the Bible says. Not this weird idea of just like once a year, once a month, oh, on your birthday or something like that. And you're laughing, you're giggling, but like this happens. This is real for some marriages. And I'm trying to help you avoid that because it's not going to lead to a blessed marriage. You're not gonna, the fires for your spouse are not really going to be kindled when you're never coming together like that. That's insane. It's not healthy. Look at verse number 20. It says, and why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Why on earth would you do this? I mean, it's just, it makes no sense. And especially, and because there's some wicked guys out there and wicked women out there, especially if you're married to someone who is obeying the Bible in this issue and is taking care of your needs and being a blessing to you, why in the hell would you be ravished with a strange woman then? Why would you blow up your marriage? Why would you commit adultery? It's just so insane today, but even it happens in good marriages too in this area. It's crazy. You know, why would you, if you've got good home-cooked meals at home, why in the world would you snuff that and go buy McDonald's? But look, when you're really hungry, McDonald's sounds good. And I remember I was preaching at Pure Words all the time. And I would drive 4 hours down to Houston, and I'd go soul winning, and I'd run the services, and I'd drive 4.5 hours back, whatever the traffic was. And it's super late at night. There's not a bunch of stuff open. And you know what I constantly did? I constantly just got McDonald's. And I was so hungry, and it sounded so good. And I ate it, and like 30 minutes later, I hated myself. And I was like, I felt better when I was starving. Like, why did I do this to myself? You know? But when you're starving, like, McDonald's looks good. Like, when you've been starving for a year, you might even eat, like, Taco Bell or Whataburger or, like, anything. Anything. And this is, like, what happens in marriage. Is, like, this gets withheld. This isn't prioritized. This isn't happening. And then it's, like, McDonald's and Taco Bell and Taco Casa and just all this trash. And it's, like, why don't you go home and get some good meals? Well, it's, like, that costs money. That takes time. That takes effort and energy. Yeah, it does. But you know what? When you put time and effort and energy into a home-cooked meal, your life is just better. Amen. It tastes better. Yep. You're healthier in the long run. And it's like when this area of life, when you're following it the way that the Bible says, you'll be so much happier in this area of life than the world is. Like the world acts like because they're a bunch of fornicators and adulterers and they go to a bunch of different partners, they act like that's fun and that they're having a good time. But you know what? They're not having as much time as the married couple that follows the Bible where it says, at all times, Let her breast satisfy thee at all times. You know, the world that is a bunch of whoremongers and whores, they're like, oh, I'll go to the club on a Friday night. I'll go to the club once a month. And the Bible's just like, whenever you want. I'm telling you, like, this area of life, when you actually follow the Bible, is better, just like home-cooked meals are better than fast food. And you have to be insane to think otherwise. You have to be insane to think that fornication and adultery is going to satisfy you more than a loving wife that you're faithful to. Don't fall into the lie of the billboard. It doesn't look like that. I know McDonald's looks good on the billboard. I know that her lips are like honey and her words are smoother than oil, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, whatever. But then you go there and it's just like death. It's like a two-edged sword. Your stomach hurts. It feels like you got pierced by a two-edged sword. It's terrible. Notice what it says in verse number 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. He's like, hey, if I don't just, even explaining all the dangers to you, even explaining all the physical consequences and ramifications that you're going to face from going after the strange woman, here's another thing you just need to remember is that God is watching you. God is watching you. Because you know what? Teenagers, young people, they're pretty sneaky. If they really want to, they can often find a way to commit these sins. But here's one thing you got to remember is that even if your mom and dad don't see you, even if your brothers and sisters don't see you, you know who sees you is that God sees you. His eyes are going around. He's pondering the hearts. He sees what you're doing. And you know what? That applies to all of us. Even if you think you won't get caught, even if you think there won't be physical ramifications, I will get away from it. Not if God's watching. And not if God decides to punish you. And you know what? The Bible already told us. Who is he going to punish? Whoremongers and adulterers. Verse 22 says this, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. The Bible literally says you're going to die. And you know what's funny? Is that in the Old Testament, God killed 23,000 people in one day for the sin of fornication. You don't think that God can do that to New Testament Christians? He absolutely can. The Bible literally says you will die without instruction. You should literally be scared that God will strike you dead if you commit fornication and commit adultery. Now look, if you've already done that in your past, I'm not saying sit here and beat yourself up over stuff that you've already asked God for forgiveness for, move on, walk in newness of life, amen to all those things, but I'm talking about future you. Future you should be scared to death to ever do this stuff. And don't think that it's a light thing, it's not. Let's end in Hebrews chapter 12. I have a feeling that I'm going to be reading these verses a lot in the upcoming future. We just apparently really need Hebrews chapter number 12. Let me remind you, if you're saved in here this evening, that you have a heavenly Father that loves you, that sees what you're doing, and who will whip your butt when you sin. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Oh, are we like that to our kids? Do we just come down on our kids when they sin, when they make a mistake? Yes! Those who actually love their kids do. Because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Yes, if you actually love your kids and they're going down a bad path, when they're sinning, when they're doing these things, you know what you're going to do? You're going to spank them. You're going to discipline them. That's what a loving father would do. And guess what? God is a loving father. And this is the God that we serve. Verse 7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? It's like, look, if you are not getting chastised by your dad, you ought to ask yourself, like, does my dad even love me? Am I even my dad's son if I'm not ever getting chastened by my dad? And it's like, this should scare people. If you could just go commit rampant fornication, if you could just commit rampant adultery, and nothing ever happens to you, no punishment ever comes your way, the question that I'm going to be asking, like, is this person even saved? Is this person even God's child? Because if they were God's son, you know what would be happening? They'd be getting chastised. And I've seen people go down this road. I've seen people make this mistake. And I've seen chastisement in their life. And I'm just thinking, hey, praise God, this person's saved. Right? And then they get things right. And then they're walking with the Lord again. And it's not like if you ever do these things in the past that you can't be restored. Look, when my kids do wrong, I spank them, and then you know what we do? We hug. And I love them, and they love me, and we're in fellowship. And it's like, when we sin, God spanks us, and you know what that leads us to do? Draw to him. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Verse 8, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. What is that? That's an illegitimate child. And look, you in this room, you know if you're saved. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ for your salvation? Have you called upon the name of the Lord? Then you can know for sure you are saved. So if you know that you're saved, here's what you should know, is that if you go after the strange woman, if you commit fornication, if you commit adultery, here's what you should know, is that God is going to beat your butt. And you know what? I love what Pastor Thompson preached recently. He's like, yeah, of course. Of course you could live however you want if you want to constantly get beaten by God. Absolutely, that's true. My kids can live however they want if they want to constantly get beaten by me. But if they want less spankings, you know what they're going to have to do? They're going to have to obey my commandments. They're going to have to be behaved. And it's like, hey, you can live however you want. You, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, you can commit adultery and fornication and still go to heaven, but you can't live a blessed, peaceful life on this earth. You're constantly going to get beaten. You're constantly going to have issues. I mean, look at King David, who committed adultery, a man after God's own heart. His wives ended up cheating on him in the sight of all the sun, and he lost his child. His child died as a result of it. He was punished by God. Oh, God's so mean. Who are you to judge God? Who are you to sit here in judgment of God? Here's what I'm sitting in judgment of. Okay, this is what the Bible says. I'm just going to believe it. Okay, I just know I'm saved, and God's going to punish me if I sin against him. So you know what a wise person would do is a wise person would actually fear God. A wise person would read chapter 5 of the book of Proverbs and say, I'm staying away from the strange woman. I'm setting up some safeguards in my life. I'm not going to just trust that my flesh is going to be so strong at all times and always overcome all temptation. No, I'm going to make some safeguards so that I don't make provision for the flesh. And you know what? I'm going to get married, Lord willing. That's a good thing to do. Why? Because you don't want to get into these sins because it will ruin your life. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for the warnings in your word. We thank you for Proverbs chapter 5. I pray that no man in here would be beguiled or enticed by the strange woman. I pray that we would all take heed to ourselves, that we'd set up safeguards in our lives. I pray for any of the single people in this church or in the new IFB who desire a spouse. I pray that you would just lead them to a godly Christian and that you'd just help them to live blessed lives together. I pray that you would bless the people in this room who are already married. We love you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.